Not gonna lie, I was under the simple misconception that we were in the middle of summer and that this would just be another Sunday and another ordinary Sunday homily and nothing that I wouldn't write home about, but nothing that I'm gonna make it to the front page papers. But I'd be wrong. There's all kinds of things to talk about today, and you might think it's just another day in summer, but actually there's all kinds of fun going on. I'll start with some boring things first, the logistics, but we need to know them, and we'll move on to the more exciting as we move through here. First and foremost, and I say first and foremost because I didn't want to talk about it, but I've lived in Illinois most of my life. We have basically two seasons. We have winter, and we have road construction. And we're in road construction now. I don't know if you noticed, but we patched some of the parking lot. Needed a little bit of work. We might even get a chance to seal coat it. These are little things that need to be done around here. That's not actually a great concern of mine. My concern happens a little further down the line. How many of you think it's cold right now? Just think about it for a moment. It can get a lot colder. Our boiler's dead. It kind of works. It might get us up to 60 degrees or so. The long and the short of it is, we need a new one. And by new one, I mean in the tens of thousands of dollars new one. Just want to keep everyone in mind that if you think it's cold now, it's going to get a lot worse until it gives up about it. So we're going to work on that. I'm working on it as best I can, but any generosity towards that, you are, without a doubt, people with great generosity. You've always been so very generous from the moment I walked through the door, and I cannot thank you enough for that, and I bring this to your attention because it's our parish. I agreed to help look after it, but it is your parish. I'm here to help. I live here, so it's mine too, but it's our parish. And it turns out the boiler's a little over 50 years old, and you know, boilers don't last forever, so they 50 years isn't bad for a person. It's a lot worse for a boiler, so keep that in mind. Other exciting things that have happened, our Holy Father has declared an update to the Eucharistic prayer. Now, what does that mean? Well, realize that the Eucharistic prayer is that part that includes the consecration, and we haven't actually changed it or updated it much ever. The last time they made it an adjustment to Eucharistic prayer, Blessed John the 23rd added the name of St. Joseph to the first Eucharistic prayer, which at the time was the only Eucharistic prayer, so we thought he was adding St. Joseph to the Eucharistic prayer in general. However, with the Second Vatican Council, which obviously John the 23rd oversaw the beginning of but didn't see the end of, Joseph only made it into the first Eucharistic prayer. Now, the prior Holy Father, Benedict XVI, said, was responding to letters and concerns throughout the world that he wanted to add St. Joseph to the other Eucharistic prayers, but he didn't finish it during his time as Pope. But Pope Francis has decided that this is still important enough that we need to do this. So they have officially announced, and we are going to start using St. Joseph in every Eucharistic prayer. So if you suddenly hear an extra name during the Eucharistic prayer that you didn't hear before, don't panic. I planned it that way. And it isn't just me, it's the Church Universal, so we're all going to do this together. So it's very exciting. Other exciting things going on, if that were not enough, we actually also have the Fortnight for Freedom. Fortnight for Freedom started on Friday, but most of you weren't here on Friday, so I couldn't tell you. But we started the Fortnight for Freedom, literally 2 weeks, leading all the way up to the 4th of July, where we remember and we pray, the bishops of the United States have asked us to pray both for local as well as international, that we remember and we pray for the need for religious liberty. You know, I spoke last week and I mentioned that none of us had to fear being arrested for our faith to come here to gather in prayer. And that is a great gift. It is a right that we get as Americans. It is an incredible thing that we have received. And we should never underestimate it. We should never underestimate how incredible that truly is. Right now, in our own country, we're experiencing an attack on our religious freedoms. We really are, in so many ways. And I cannot think of a better day to bring this up. I cannot think of a better time to bring this up. Today, this morning, realize now we celebrate the 12th Sunday of Ordinary Time, but this morning we celebrated the memorial of two incredible saints, Saints John Fisher and Saint Thomas More. Now, why are these guys important? Well, they lived at the time of Henry VIII in England, at a time when Henry was concerned about Catholicism. And I don't mean he was concerned about expelling Catholicism. I mean he was concerned about protecting Catholicism. To this day, the King of England, whoever he is, has many, many titles, but one of them is Protector of the Church. Believe it or not, this title was given to him not when he took over and became the head of the Anglican Church, but actually predates the founding of the Anglican Church altogether, the Church of England, predates it to the point when Henry, crazy heretic Henry, actually defended the Catholic faith in Europe. He actually sent soldiers to protect the Catholics in Europe. He actually used political and economic influence to ensure the safety and practice of Catholicism throughout what he knew to be the world, which was just Europe. But he made that effort. And the church called him Protector of the Church, Defender of the Faith, because of this. He still has that title today. They now impose it in the Anglican mind on the Anglican Church, but it doesn't actually change the fact that at one time, no one would have questioned that Catholicism was safe in England. And there was absolutely no doubt that it was safe in England. But in just a few short years, Henry went from being Defender of the Faith to attacking it openly. He wanted that male heir. He wanted that male heir so bad that he was willing to do anything it took, and literally anything it took, actually to the point of setting up his own church and insisting that everyone respond to him first, fealty to the king first, and fealty to their faith second. Now, Henry kept it mostly Catholic. He really didn't want to keep this. He really did like Catholicism. He just wanted it his way. You know, he wanted to serve it up his own way. I'm sure we have no idea what that's like. I'm sure none of us have ever met someone who would say something like that. But crazy as that sounds, Henry said it. Henry did it. He made it through his actions, and he set up his own church. And so one of the things that he set up was an oath of fidelity. And this oath of fidelity mandated that everyone must be faithful to their king even before their faith. It was worded very carefully. That's what it said. Not literally in those words, but that is actually what it stated. And Thomas More was the Chancellor of England. Now, the Chancellor of England was the third most powerful man in all of England. He only reported to the king. And in his power and in his position, he knew where he stood with God. He knew that he had to stand up for what he believed and what he knew was right and what he knew to be the Holy Roman Catholic Church. And he read the Oath of Fidelity, and he said, I can't sign this. And Henry, his good friend Henry, sent him to prison for it. And said, if you won't sign it, then I cannot keep you. And Henry tried to force him into it. He wanted him to sign it, so he kept him in prison just to see if he could wait him out, just to see if he could hold out against him. But people wrote letters. Lots of people wrote to Thomas. We still have them. It wasn't that long ago. We still have these letters written back and forth, and one of his close friends wrote to him and said, look, all of us understand, we're still Catholic. We still believe the same things. We just need to sign this one little document and everything will be okay. So just sign it with us for the sake of brotherhood so that we can stand together, sign this document with us. Thomas wrote back to him. He said, and will you join me in hell just for the sake of brotherhood? You know, so we stand together. If it's wrong, it's wrong. In just a few short years, Henry went from being Defender of the Faith to executing his close friend because he would not give up on his faith. Catholicism is still a touchy subject in England. And it started with this right here. St. Thomas More is remembered. His final words, just before they executed him, he said, I am the king's loyal servant, but God's first. Never underestimate that our freedoms can be taken away if we stop paying attention. And so we have this fortnight for freedom, and it is very important. I encourage you all to try and pray and some additional fasting during this time. I will look to what we will do on the 4th of July ourselves to remember on this particular day, this very important aspect that we face in the United States. That's all fine and exciting, but I still haven't even gotten to the scriptures yet. So I hope you're not too cold. You know. This is an incredible reading from Zechariah. It points out a couple of very important things, but the most curious part about this reading from Zechariah is that it's a communication of idioms. He uses expressions that would be familiar to the people of God at the time that he wrote it, but mean almost nothing to the rest of us. And so he says, they'll mourn, like on the morning of Hadrimon, on the plain of Megiddo. How many of you know where Megiddo is or what happened there? Yeah, it's a little tricky. You know, he's expressing this idea, but none of us actually have any idea what he's talking about. So if we go back and we look, he's talking about the single greatest tragedy that the people could think of. Consider for a moment if I told you there would be more mourning on that day than the loss of 9/11. There would be more mourning on that day than the assassination of JFK. See, these are national tragedies for us. Maybe we know them personally, maybe we just know them from reading about them, but there are national tragedies. As opposed to the plains of Megiddo, which actually has no connection to us whatsoever. What happened was King Josiah, the great reformer king, their dear, beloved King Josiah, who means a great deal to the people of God, King Josiah stood up to the Egyptians on the plains of Megiddo. He stood up to them and he said no. He said that he refused to let the Egyptian army march through. He tried to protect his people. And it was there on the plains of Megiddo that the Egyptians struck down Josiah. It was one of the single greatest national tragedies they ever experienced. With the death of Josiah, they never could recover, and eventually the Babylonians, just shortly thereafter, dragged them into exile. And it happened because their dearly beloved king, whom they loved, the great reformer king who tried to bring them closer to God, who was dedicated to everything of himself, trying to bring his people closer to God, lost his life on the plains of Megiddo. They called it Harmageddon. Or in English, Armageddon. See, the word Armageddon actually comes from Har Megiddo, the sorrow on the plains of Megiddo. We say 9/11 when we talk of a tragedy. When they say Armageddon, it happened already. So anyone who tells you, are you ready for Armageddon, just tell them, oh yeah, I'm ready. It happened over 2,000 years ago, man. I'm all set. Because it's that great tragedy. What great tragedy? Well, they will look on him whom they have pierced. They will look on him whom they have pierced. Zechariah makes in this reference, at this time, he says that we will experience the greatest loss that the world will ever know. It'll be more painful and more sorrowful than even losing King Josiah. We will lose someone even more precious to us than that. And who is it? Well, the gospel tells us. It is the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of God himself. And it is the greatest tragedy we could ever imagine. To kill the anointed one. To pierce him. And there's that great loss. It calls into mind, it calls us all to stop and consider one very simple and basic thing. Do we know who God is? Do we recognize what we did? Do we know what we do when we experience sin in our own lives, when we commit these sins and we find ourselves separated from God? Or do we actually come face to face with this great challenge that we have separated ourselves from the one who wants to be closest to us, for the one who loves us so dearly, so tenderly? The bitter truth that God died for us. If it ended there, it would just be a sorrowful story. If it ended there, we'd just be separated. We would just feel that pain, that loss, and we would actually be in tears the entire time. But no, we celebrate. We literally describe it, we celebrate this, the 12th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Anytime we talk about it, we celebrate these masses. Why? Because we didn't stop there. We experience the great love of God, this profound and truly incredible reality that not only did we allow God to die, but not only do we sin and separate ourselves from God in such a vicious and horrible way that we would experience the loss of God in this way, but He wants us back. He wants to be close to us. And that's the great calling, that great reminder, that great love of God. My challenge for you this week is that even though we're in summer and things are a little slower, or maybe it's just because we have to stop all the time for road construction, whichever it is, take that moment and think of God. Do we know who it is that we are trying to connect to? Do we know who it is that's trying to connect to us? Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah. You know, we get some image, some glimpse, some idea of who God is, but can we really stop and consider everything that God is for us and everything that He wants to offer us? That's our challenge this week. Now, usually I end up a challenge, but there's one other thing I forgot. There's so many things, I can't keep track of it all. Today we actually celebrated another thing. Two men were ordained to priests of Almighty God for this Diocese of Rockford. Father Ryan Browning, Father Manuel Gomez are the newest priests in the diocese. We should pray for them. They have a lot of work to do. They're both older than I am. I'm not sure how I feel about that. On the one hand, I think, well, they could die before me. And that's just cutting me out of a lot of things. On the other hand, I think I got the better deal. They could have been ordained earlier. I already have my own parish. I win. Either way, pray for them. They are new priests. They will experience many new things in the next year. They need all the prayers they can get. So make sure you pray for your priests, especially the newest addition.